Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with D-Mac, Tyler Columbus, and Nick Ferguson. Now here's the top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Hi, fellas. Drew Locke was on the practice field today. Excitement level and what does it mean? Drew Locke back. Nick.
Excitement level out of five. What does it mean? Absolutely nothing.
Five out of five?
No, that's five out of ten.
Oh, I thought you meant five out of five.
No, five out of ten. I'm
so
giving
you're
five.
Not, you're not that excited. It's not that big of a deal.
No, if you told me he threw a pass and it was for 40 yards and it went to Tim Patrick, now you got me. Now I'm in. But right now it's practice. Damn.
Unfortunately, I would have to agree that it actually is not all that exciting based off the current circumstances, because there is no plan for him being out there and there's really no involvement out of Drew Locke right now. So unfortunately, although I personally am excited to see him, this is not that exciting in Drew Locke news.
Okay, bring it, Richie.
Ben, I don't know if you guys have been following this story of the Houston Astros, but it is insane and it tops Spygate. So in 2017, Mike Fiers came out and said, who was on the team, by the way, came out and admitted that in 2017, a year in which they won the World Series, that the Houston Astros organization was stealing signs by using an outfield camera that was placed in the stadium, which would relay to a tablet, which was in the dugout. And then whoever would view the tablet in the dugout would bang on a trash can. Like one bang would be a fastball, two bangs would be a curveball.
That is wild,
and
man.
And they did it the entire 2017 season for all of their home games.
That is crazy.
I mean, this is enormous. You want to talk about a sophisticated cheat system. That is amazing, and I'm really curious what the MLB will do about it.
Oh, the punishment should be severe.
Right? Take away the World Series? Can you do that?
No, that's going too far. It's not like the national championship.
I don't know what the equivalent would be. Draft picks, maybe, that you lose, or $1 million fine? How about that?
No,
$1 million, I don't know.
Ironically, I saw the stats. I don't remember it at the moment, but their record at home was way worse than it was on the road, which it is kind of interesting. If you think about it, as a batter, are you better off reading things naturally or trying to pay attention to a drum beat out of the dugout and then trying to, you know, change your opinion on whatever pitch
Dude,
is coming?
If I'm in a 1-2 count, I want to know.
You want to know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right I would want to know.
That's yes. Interesting. I want to give him credit for just creativity, the ability to develop a system that dynamic. But also, you said it yourself, Tyler, early on, you know, about cheating, right?
If you cheat, you win. Well, said Seth Rogen.
I mean, if like in baseball, if I'm up in the count, I don't want to know. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm good because I'm looking for the pitch in a certain area, and I've got my own timing or rhythm. But knowing what the pitch is going to be when you're 0-2, 1-2, or even 2-2, well, even 3-2. So in the vast majority of counts, it would be a gargantuan
advantage.
Could you
hear a bang on a trash can?
Yes. I'll tell you, I went to a bang on the trash can, I don't know, but I went to SunTrust Stadium in Smyrna this summer, and they've got a gargantuan drum. I mean, huge. And it's way in the upper deck. You can freaking hear that thing in the entire stadium. It's unbelievable.
But you're talking about a trash can. You're not going to hear that with the crowd noise.
Well, apparently they did. I mean, they did it the entire season. They wouldn't keep going unless it was working to some degree. Why would Mike Fiers come out and say this, by the way?
I don't know.
Can you imagine? I mean,
it's called a guilty conscience.
I guess, man, you just won a World Series with that team, and you sold them out, and you're never going back home.
All right. Ring and Richie.
So Sports Illustrated mid-season grades for the Denver Broncos were released today. And which player would you give the highest grade to halfway through the season? And here are a couple of the players: Kareem Jackson, Courtland Sutton, and Derek Wolfe.
I think that sounds about right, but, you know, you were pretty tough on Wolfe. Do you agree with the ratings?
I mean, I agree with having Kareem Jackson at the very top, absolutely. But I would definitely add as the second-tier guy, maybe Phillip Lindsay, third-tier, Justin Simmons.
Well, Lindsay was rated. I saw the same thing.
He was, you know, very high. Lindsay was an 80.
Yeah.
Courtland Sutton was an 87.6. Derek Wolfe was an 85.4. So Lindsay had a high grade. I don't really care if you wanted Phillip Lindsay higher than that. For the most part, they got these ratings very correct.
Well, let me ask you this. In this article, aside from the top guys, it actually had Garrett Bowles being better slightly.
Marginally.
Than Elijah Wilkinson. Yeah. Did they get that right?
Yeah, they got it right based on the fact on how many penalties were called on Garrett Bowles and how many were actually declined. Looking at that, you know, number standpoint, yes, but also it's look at the level of execution. Neither guy are great at their position, but I would definitely give Garrett Bowles maybe a 2% jump over Elijah Wilkinson.
Well, to be clear, they both have to take the class over again with a failing grade. Garrett Bowles was a 49 and Elijah Wilkinson was a 44 point something. I do think it was correct. Elijah has had a very poor year. Garrett Bowles just gets more attention. Reality is they both have had terrible years, though.
All right, Ring Richie. The latest power ranking on NFL.com comes out today, and it's got the 49ers, despite losing yesterday, number one. It's got the Seahawks, number four.
Oh, wow.
Number two is the Ravens. Number three is the Patriots. Fellas, is this right? Are the 49ers, despite losing, still the number one team in the NFL?
Absolutely. Look at the game itself. Don't look at the field goal and the fact that that was missed, but look at the fact that no George Kittle. And you look at the fact that Emmanuel Sanders left the game early with a rib injury. If those two guys played in the game, offensively, Jimmy Garoppolo would have had more weapons. We know what they are on the defensive side of the ball. And to boot, 21 of the points that Seattle scored was based on offensive turnovers. So this still is a top-tier team, even though the score and the missed field goal doesn't tell us that.
Who's 2-3?
Two is, give me 1 second, sorry. Number two is the Ravens. Number three is the Patriots.
I don't know. I mean, it's ironic that the Seahawks just won and they're down to number four and 49ers are number one. That's hard to explain.
Do you think the 49ers are the best team in football?
I don't know that yet because the schedule has been very, very soft. I'm not judging them based off of it. I mean, look, their record is incredible. I think the Patriots, if I had to do number one, I would still give it to the Patriots because of Tom Brady.
The Broncos, by the way, are at 22, and during the bye week, they dropped a spot. But you know what? In all honesty, I think this is more or less right. I think the Broncos aren't the worst team in the league. I think 22 is about appropriate, which would put them in the draft somewhere 11, 12, 13, something like that. I think that is who they are.
But how crazy is that, that you have a bye and you drop down the spot?
It happens.
You lost on a bye.
You lost the bye week. All right, Ring and Richie.
Well, along those lines, Seattle Seahawks, San Francisco 49ers, coin toss in overtime is causing controversy around the world. It is the new enigma. Did he say heads or did he say tails?
That's the tail. Seattle, what's your call? Your call is heads.
Geno Smith.
He said heads.
It sounds like tails.
That's
today.
The tail. Seattle, what's your call? Tails. Your call is heads.
Heads. Listen to the H. Ha, ha, ha. Heads.
Tell me where there was a D in there.
All right, one more time.
That's the tail. Seattle, what's your call? Your call is heads.
There it is. I heard the H, the D, and the S.
I don't hear that even remotely. I've tried so hard to hear heads. By the way, that was Geno Smith, a backup quarterback, which is a little bit weird that he was doing the coin toss. And the ball was awarded to the Seattle Seahawks.
What's the controversy, though? What's going on out there?
Because he said tails.
Yeah.
The referee heard heads, and so they awarded the ball to the Seahawks. It was their choice.
Okay, but both teams did get a shot with the ball.
Okay, that was no guarantee. Man, the Seahawks went down the field and scored.
It's all over. You know what made me realize as I'm watching it is this game is fantastic. And when I was watching it live, I was like, wait, what just happened there? And the reaction by the Seahawks bench led me to believe that, wait, did they just get away with something right there? And of course I remember the coin toss controversy. Now, this is remarkable that there'd be a controversy because they're calling the coin before you flip it. I mean, if you didn't hear him clearly, you could you just say, what? You know, tell me again? Unless the referee is... I mean, it's crazy that this is even happening at all. But then I'm watching overtime.
You gotta have replay on that. That's a huge deal.
You don't need replay.
Yes, you do.
Clear. Say what it is.
You need replay.
Okay.
Replay on a coin toss?
Yep.
That's kind of ridiculous.
No, it's not.
All you have to do is listen.
What if the Seahawks went down and scored?
What you need is a new version of overtime. This whole time, they have already shortened it by 5 minutes, meaning the likelihood of a tie is through the roof. And it almost happened last night. And you need both teams to have a shot somehow. You don't have to do it exactly like college, but something. Maybe you give each team the ball at the 50 and you see what you do. You know, and you go from there. I mean, it's a little bit better than the 25, the 35. Give them the ball at the 50. See what you can come up with, and that's that.
The hardcore football junkie in me wants to fight that because I say, look, the defense gets paid also. And, you know, if you draw the short straw, go out there and play well on defense and then give the ball to your offense, both teams got to play football. I would agree in premise, like, it's America. Like
we don't want ties.
Right.
I like the current format. I mean, if you get the ball, you move down the field, you score, you win. Game over.
So you don't get the ball? I mean, we had a Super Bowl decided in overtime where the one team didn't get the ball at all.
D-Mac, there's 60 minutes in the game where each team gets an opportunity to have the ball. If you can't get the coin toss because of it playing a game of chance and the other team gets it and they move the ball down the field and your defense can't stop them, that's your fault. That is your fault.
You can't name another sport where the offense does not have an opportunity in overtime to score. Name it.
I can't. I mean, baseball, you get
And soccer, they're just penalty kicks.
No, penalty kicks come after a 30-minute overtime. And in soccer, the overtime goes for the full 30 minutes. So even if you score, unless they have a golden goal situation. But both teams are going to offensively possess the ball unless
tennis.
You kick the ball in.
Tennis. Okay, how about this?
Tennis is a tiebreaker.
Yeah, but you get to serve twice to win it if you got the serve.
Advantage?
Yeah.
First to 7-2. And they alternate the serve every two serves.
D-Mac, how about this?
Maybe I'm wrong.
If you want every team to have an offensive possession, just put it at the 30 or the 40-yard line, or 47, and kick freaking field goals.
No, that's boring. You should de-emphasize the kicker.
Now it's boring. You want to answer, but, I mean, now it's boring.
I know what I would do. I would do it like the college system. And I'm flexible what yard line it would start with, but I would do it like the college system.
The best team doesn't win in college. There's no guarantee the best team will win. The best team to win.
I think college overtimes are freaking exciting.
It is exciting, but there's no guarantee that the team that is the best that day is going to win.
How about this, then?
It's the best two-point conversion in college. Yeah. That's all it is.
If you kick it off, if the team scores a touchdown, fine. Now you kick it off, and you got to stop them.
Well, you should just guarantee that you get a chance to reciprocate.
Yes.
Yeah, you do get a chance. If your defense can man up and stop the opposing offense, how you do it.
Ring it, Richie.
So Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, said that his team is out to win every single game, period, bar none.
Believe him.
There are only one game worse than that of the Denver Broncos. Is that the best strategy for them, given the fact that they need so many, or they have so many holes that they have to plug, but they have a bevy of draft picks?
Dude, they've already screwed it up, depending on who they want. If you really want Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa and you're the Dolphins, you really messed things up. But that being said, I've been covering the NFL since 1994. Good teams and bad teams. It is just not in the DNA of coaches or players. And I'm talking to two players, but it is not in your DNA to go out and try to lose. You can't do it, and coaches can't do it either. And the Broncos were...
They were doing it pretty well for a long time. I mean, they would be winning in the first half, and then just, like, quit playing football to try to lose the game. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
The players will never do that,
though. Of course the players won't, because we don't have job security.
Correct, and neither do the coaches. It just... It literally cannot... Now, lack of talent can happen. And if you're a general manager, you could have made trades at the deadline that would sort of guarantee the fact that you would fail. But there's no way coaches in the NFL or players are actually going to actively try to lose. It's just not going to happen. So I believe Flores.
There's a slight possibility that can happen. Players won't lose games on purpose because that's just in our nature.
Well, that's who's playing the game.
But the coaches, you can set the players up for failure by poor play call.
Right. So when the Broncos had Tim Tebow, were the Broncos trying to lose for Locke or were they trying to win?
They were crossing their fingers and hoping that something great would happen.
I'm telling you they were trying to win.
Of course they were trying to win.
I'm telling you.
Tim Tebow?
No, there's no doubt about it. They were all trying to win with Tim Tebow. Mike McCoy was coaching his ass off. Adam Gase was burning the midnight oil. The players, I knew players on that team, like Chris Cooper, who's a great guy.
And all those players were hoping that they would win games because, yes. I mean, talking to some of the players now, they were like, well, we don't even know how we won that game.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they weren't trying to win it. You guys are right when you say we don't know where our next contract is coming from. You're still playing in the NFL. I've just never seen a player or coaching staff actually try to lose. Never seen it.
Brian Flores could be intentionally trying to lose. You know, he's got a unique situation in which he's new, and I am sure when all those trades began at the beginning of the year, he was guaranteed he was not going to lose his job. But players, you could never go talk to a player and ask him to play bad football.
Now, I do know a situation where the Broncos did not, I'm not saying they were trying to lose, but they didn't care if they won. And that is the one of the championship teams for the Broncos. When they had an undefeated season going, they lost to the Giants. They were trying to win, they lost. The next week, they were playing the Dolphins. Back in 97, 98, whenever that was. Mike Shanahan, and we've talked to Mike about it, did not put a full game plan out for that Dolphins game because they thought they may face the Dolphins in the playoffs. So they lost the game, and
Didn't the Nuggets just do that last year?
I don't know.
They did that going into the playoffs, trying to ensure who they would play.
I mean, there were several NBA teams that did the same thing.
Oh, yeah, but we're talking about the NFL, not the NBA.
But the idea is still the same.
No. I'm not going to say that.
That because you're not preparing your team on purpose to win the game.
A 82-game scheduled team is the same as a 16 scheduled. There's no way, Nick, it's the same thing.
Here's why it's the same. If you know, if you're trying to avoid a certain team based on playoff seeding, and in order to avoid the number one seed, right, you have to lose a couple of games. Now load management comes in. It's the same thing. You're taking players the court.
Find me an NFL. I know I pointed out the Mike Shanahan thing because that actually did happen. It happened on purpose. I'm not saying they were trying to necessarily lose. They didn't want to show the Dolphins what they had. They came back in the playoffs and they wiped them off the face of the earth. That was on purpose. But if you can really find me specific proof of an NFL team.
Oh, it's never happened.
Really trying to lose on purpose. Do you know it happened?
Give me an example. That's never happened.
I've been in an environment where a team, organization...
What was the team? What was the year?
I'm not going to get too much of that information.
Come on. Argument.
I'm supporting the argument by giving you the information, saying that this is something that definitely happens in the NFL.
What was told to you as a player to tell you that we are trying to lose this game?
Well, just like D-Mac said, if you're not really putting an actual game plan together...
No, I get it. Upper management. I get upper management could do that, and I certainly...
I'm not talking about upper management. I'm talking about coaches, D-coordinators, offensive coordinators.
As a player, when and how could you ever be convinced to go out there and put a bad product on the field and risk your job and future money?
I've never experienced that, but... I can see a player doing it knowing as though he's on an expiring contract and he feels as though the team is not be putting himself or the organization in a position to win.
We've seen Aqib Talib in his effort against the Chiefs in his final game with the Broncos. I mean, yes, I know players have tanked for their own personal reasons.
But as a team.
But as a team?
Never.
I don't know, man.
We did it in college.
Why?
We did it in college at Georgia Tech.
You lost the game on purpose?
We didn't just lose one game.
College makes less
sense. We lost many games.
On purpose?
On purpose.
Why?
Because we wanted our head coach fired.
Oh, my God. Well, that's another story for another day, but we'll get to it at some point. Ring it, Richie. Wrap it up. Wow.
That makes the most sense of anything. I could sort of see it.
It's possible.
College, you don't lose jobs.
All right, we have our tribute to Ralphie, but I'm not going to lie. I'm intrigued. Who's the coach and why?
We'll talk about it another time.
Man, you don't ever give us your examples.
All right.
It's all very vague.
Was that just, was it a position coach or a head coach?
It's a head coach.
Wow. Damn, dude.
And did you participate in intentionally losing?
No, I didn't.
I can't imagine.
I wanted
to
win.
As a team, you didn't really do it.
Well, I mean, that's everyone else. I mean, the team was kind of split on a decision. But there was a majority of the players, a lot of key players that, you know, were into this thing where they didn't, hey, if we want this guy out, we have to lose these games.
Wait, dude, so when you say they were split,
crazy.
They were split. Does that imply that, like, there was a conversation amongst the players? Like, hey, we're going to take a vote if we're trying to lose this?
That would imply that.
Holy cow.
That's wild. You worked so hard to get there. I just cannot imagine.
See, for me, I felt different because I was a walk-on. I wasn't a scholarship player.
What you did to have to be there.
And I'm just like, yeah, everything I had to walk on and prove that I could be here, but you guys were scholarship players, but this is the mindset that you guys had to get this guy out of here?
Like, don't ridiculous. They
want, like, didn't the players want to go play in the NFL? Like, how could you possibly go put a bad product on the field and try to get a job in the future?
Well, that was kind of the issues that came up. You had a couple guys who were seniors. I mean, a losing season would affect them.
Yeah.
But it was more guys who were underclassmen.
Man, you had some bad leaders on that team then, man.
Jeez. Hey, listen. I know. I didn't like it.
I can't blame you. All right. Wow. What a story. Tribute to Ralphie. What do we have here? All right. Maybe we should just do our tribute to Ralphie. Go ahead. Let's hear this tribute to Ralphie.
Happy trails to you. Jim
Notazzi. All right, y'all, here we go again. One. They say Ralphie had four platinum 40 just a couple of weeks ago. We're going to turn it around. And here we go down the stretch.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
She really gets to know you and you develop a special relationship. Each person has their own different one. She understands that while we're there, it's all going to be okay. And we work hard to make sure that we deserve that trust.
What a sweetheart.
Who cares about the clouds that we're together?
Hey, guys, A to B. Just like every other run, she's going to be fast and start the season off right, all right?
Buzz on three. One, two, three, four.
Happy trails to you.
Yeah, this is great. Ralphie.
Ralphie, thank you for so many years of service.
Okay, well, I thought you were going somewhere else, but that
wow.
is...
Wow! I'm giving a hand clap for Ralphie.
I appreciate
yes.
that.
Yes!
And when I bring you up there this weekend, you will bow at her feet and worship Ralphie, the Empress of the Pac-12.
Yum, 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 yum.
Shoulder to shoulder. Thank you, Ralphie, for your service.
Thank you, Ralphie. Blackout. Blackout is her proper name.
Blackout.
A college icon. Has retired.
Yes.
How long does this song go for? Oh, this is it. You're locked. Back in practice. Details next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
Okay, fellas, Drew Lock practice. Hey, it happened. Drew Lock was...
Celebrate, baby.
Celebration. Drew Lock was on the practice field, and I was out there for it. I didn't want to miss a second of it, and he had a football helmet on.
How does Hammies look?
Oh, man, his hammies look spectacular. Loose. Glutes. His glutes were spectacular.
No, I didn't say glutes. I said loose.
Oh, loose. Sorry. He had loose glutes as well. Everything was good.
Oh, stop.
How was his arm? I mean, that's the thing that
his
we
arm,
need to,
yes. He was taking a football and throwing the football, and it was remarkable.
But didn't he do this already in, you know, some of the games that the Broncos were playing this season? He would get out there before the game and toss the pigskin around, so we knew the thumb was okay.
We hadn't seen him take a snap from under center until today.
I don't think he's actually allowed to do that, was he?
Well, there was a video, I think about 2 weeks ago, that surfaced of him throwing the football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where, on the sideline or something?
Well, I think it was. I think it might have been before the game. I had to
so
try to
just,
go back.
Yeah. He was goofing around.
Yes, yeah, just goofing around throwing the football.
I think you're allowed. Who was he throwing it to?
That the video didn't show that. It just showed him throwing the ball.
Well, there are some dumb rules out there. For example, he is more than welcome to throw to equipment people.
Yep.
Okay? He can't throw to another player. But he could throw to an equipment guy all day. But I think taking the snap, I mean, it was a thumb, right? It was an injury there. Can you take a snap under center? Of course, we know he's been able to do this for... Well, weeks.
That's been my biggest thing. It's just like we've been talking about this thumb for a while that landed him on IR. The same thumb injured during the San Francisco 49ers preseason game that the x-rays were negative, but it landed him on IR once again. But Drew Brees had surgery on his thumb.
Well, Nick.
Yeah. It's for sure. Like, I mean, there's a convenience factor to everybody that goes on the IR. Can you afford to put him on the IR or not? You know, just because you go there, it does not necessarily insinuate that you had an 8-week injury, nor does it insinuate that you have a season-long injury. It just means there's a convenience factor that we don't really need you right now.
Correct. And that was in the beginning of the year when they thought, well, if he's going to miss 5 weeks, there's other players we could possibly use on this team that will help us win. And that's why he was on IR. And that's why Bryce Callahan wasn't, because they thought, as soon as Bryce Callahan is ready, we want him. As it turned out, he could have gone on IR. But then again, you can only bring two guys back from IR. So if you put Bryce Callahan on, and Tim Patrick's on, and Drew Lock's on, and Theo Riddick's on, and Jake Butt's on, well, who are those two guys? So, listen, I mean, I get why they put him on IR. But at the end of the day, what we want and what they want seem to be two different things. We want, as fans, it seems, development and to get the guy ready and that. The Broncos want to win.
They want to win now, for sure, which brings up an interesting question. You know, Vic Fangio said the goal is to go to 4-6, right? I'm trying to get 4-6, trying to win this game.
Right.
When Drew Lock comes back in 2 more weeks, if they go the full 21 days, well, they'll be trying to win that week. So, you know, Theo Riddick, Jake Butt, Drew Lock, all these guys. Now, Vic Fangio is going to look at them all and he's going to say, which guy gives me the best opportunity to win this game? And that may or may not be your backup quarterback.
I hate those low expectations. I'm just trying to get to 4-6.
Well, what else can you do, though?
That is it.
Did you ever play for a coach that the goal was not just to win this game? I mean, we never looked ahead. You know that.
Well, for me as a player, I want to win every stinking game.
Sure.
I mean, even Brian Flores in Miami, who we thought was fighting for the number one spot, he said himself, hey, listen, we're trying to win games. He was really excited about beating the Colts. So for me, if you believe in your team and the players that you have, especially having a top defense, go out there and try to win some freaking ball games.
You know what would be funny is if a coach came out in training camp before the season goes, okay,
well,
here's my goal. Here's I really want to go 4-6 to start with. You know, if we can just go 4-6.
Yeah,
you know,
7-9 is a big year.
That's the end of the year.
Respectable.
After 10 games, I'd like to see us 4-6.
Sure.
You know.
Boy, that would be something. That would be.
I've never played for a coach that has ever acknowledged they even know who our opponent is going to be in 2 weeks, let alone is talking about the remainder of the schedule. It's always been a week-to-week proposition in the NFL.
I heard something earlier today on the Fan. I think it was with Ding and Dong in the morning. They were saying about Drew Locke, well, look at Aaron Rodgers. He was behind Brett Favre for 3 years. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He was behind Alex Smith. But the difference in those cases is that Aaron Rodgers was the backup from day one. There wasn't somebody between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Patrick Mahomes was the backup to Alex Smith, meaning if those guys got hurt, if theoretically they got hurt at any point, Mahomes would have been the starter for the Chiefs.
Well, it wasn't.
Rodgers would have been the starter for the Packers.
It wasn't designed that way, though, D-Mac. It wasn't designed for Drew Locke to have somebody in between him. He was supposed to just be the backup. He got hurt.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right. But Drew Locke's not even at that point, though. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
He's not the back. So to say that he's on the same path as Rodgers and Mahomes is disingenuous.
Who said that? Well, I don't even understand that.
Oh, but he's just not there. Well, who's the backup? Who's the backup this week?
It's Brett Rippin.
Why?
Rippin, I suppose, is
that's
the way
right.
You would prefer I say
well,
that.
Well, that's the way the Broncos say it. So as long as that's the way the head coach says it.
Well, Brett Rippin is the backup because Drew Locke isn't ready. And just because.
Be the backup?
No.
He's not ready to be the backup?
Apparently not.
Why?
Because if that was the case, they would have elevated. You know, Drew Locke, even though he was on IR with a so-called thumb injury that wasn't that serious, they would have elevated him to number two behind Brandon Allen instead of Brett Rippin. So
why?
It has to be something there.
Why isn't he ready right now? He's been there the whole year.
Exactly.
Why isn't he the backup? Should he? Let me back up.
Should he? Yes.
Should he be the backup?
Oh, without a doubt. He should have been the backup after week 8. They should have just activated him, put him on the active roster, and rolled the dice. I understand it's a roll of dice. If they would have activated him the day that he was available on the off the IR, which was week 8, you would have been rolling the dice. You got to play him without any practice. But that would have been the correct thing to do, because then you were getting him every single day of practice you possibly can for the remainder of the season. And to be totally honest with you, having a guy go in the middle of the game, it's not the worst of things. You know, he's a little bit cool. He's calm. He didn't have to stress all week long, and he's only going to have to go in for a limited sample size. It's not the worst of problems in the world.
If right. I coulda, woulda, shoulda. I mean, first of all, I mean, yeah, they could have done that, but they didn't do it. And the reason why they didn't do it, because they know something in the building that we don't know. We speculate about
the backup.
Tell me what they know.
What could they possibly know to be the backup?
Explain what they could know.
What they could know is that this kid in Drew Locke isn't ready. So we had to.
No. How do they know that? It's a better way for me to ask that.
They're there every single day with the kid. Someone is talking to him. Even when he was on IR and he couldn't really be around the team, someone was talking to him. And by now, because they had all the training camp to sit there with him, and like Joel Klatt said it, that when you sit down and you talk to a player, you can find out in maybe the first 10 minutes of an interview if this guy has the goods or he doesn't. So there's something they're feeling that isn't there. There's a void. They're trying to figure out what that is, but they know what it is, and we don't.
Well, whatever. He's got a helmet on, and he's finally out there, and we actually saw him, his fluid hips and incredible footwork, and, you know.
His glutes looked good, apparently.
Loose glutes and rocket arm, and I got all this from watching him stretch and throw on air to an equipment guy. So there you go. Well, we got that, and we move on tomorrow, right?
Hair was good. Gel in the hair?
He had a helmet on, Tyler. Again, I went through
it.
That.
Stretch. Yeah. It was stretch. Yeah.
They wore a helmet during stretch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did he do a great job of touching his toes?
Everything looked loose. Okay. It's like he was going for wiper nonstop. Listen to all the shows.
All right, when we come back, our guy Adam Schefter, he'll bring us into the loop. The Colin Kaepernick story is fascinating. Details on that next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
We're joined by Adam Schefter, our NFL insider from ESPN, courtesy of Front Range, your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. Adam, we're seeing your tweet about Colin Kaepernick. What details can you share with us about the Colin Kaepernick workout coming on Saturday?
Yeah, D-Mac, well, the memo went out to all 32 NFL teams within the last hour, and they were notified essentially that Colin Kaepernick will be holding a workout for the 32 teams on Saturday in Atlanta, and every team there will have the opportunity to watch the workout, interview him to determine his interest in returning to the NFL or not returning to the NFL, and see how his skills have held up or not held up. He turned 32 years old just last week, and it'll be up to these teams to make a determination. The teams that are not in attendance basically will have access to the videos that are taken of the workout so that they can see for themselves. But I think the fact that this is happening just tells you that the NFL is open to having him return if it could marry up his desire to play with a team that has the need. Now, look, there are enough teams that have needs at that position. It's just a question of whether one is going to go ahead and give him the opportunity. The fact that this is happening, this workout is being arranged, tells me that the temperature on the entire situation is being dialed back some.
Interesting.
And we'll see whether somebody can give him
vibe or anything else like that. There's nothing. No. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
You know,
fair
just
enough.
To clarify something, Adam, is this a workout that Colin Kaepernick set up himself and he asked the NFL to attend, or did the NFL set this up so that all the clubs, because they had an interest in viewing Colin?
Listen, I don't know who initiated. I know that Colin Kaepernick has been trying to get back to the NFL, but I'll just say this, that the NFL sent out the memo. So clearly the two sides were working together to make this happen. Do I think the NFL went to Colin Kaepernick and said, hey, I think you should work out for teams? I would guess not. Do I know that Colin Kaepernick has been pushing and trying to get his foot in the door somewhere? Yes. So when you know that and combine that with the fact that the NFL sent out the memo to all 32 teams, obviously blessing it, that tells me that probably, if I had to guess safely, connecting the dots, Colin Kaepernick initiated the contact. The two sides worked together to come up with this plan, and they put the plan into place to have him work out on Saturday in Atlanta, which the NFL then obviously dispersed the information about the teams.
Adam, how much of this situation with Colin Kaepernick do you feel has to do with the level of production that we've seen this, like we saw last night with Russell Wilson, and we saw on display with Lamar Jackson against the Cincinnati Bengals?
Oh, I don't think there's anything to do with that, Nick. I really don't. I think, like, if you're implying that the game has changed, I agree with that. You know, I don't know, you know, look, there are quarterbacks, black and white, doing things that we haven't seen done before. And there's also been, for whatever reason, over time, when the league stance has softened, we've seen some of the top quarterbacks in the game. I mean, it's. You know, you got, what today, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, I mean, you know, the league turned its back on that for a long time there. And I think maybe you'd like to think, you want to think that everybody's more open-minded about it now. I don't know if that would influence whether a team would give Colin Kaepernick a chance. I think that you've got a situation where basically teams will do anything to try to get themselves improved. And we all know that there are enough teams in the league that need help at that spot. And, I think we all could understand and agree why Colin Kaepernick has not been given a visit or a workout in recent years. That's strange. So you're telling me that some of these quarterbacks that have found their way onto rosters are better than Colin Kaepernick and have more upside than Colin Kaepernick? Like, that's hard for me to believe. But that's the way it's gone down. And so the fact that the workout is taking place, again, I just think it's the NFL softening its stance, being a little bit more open-minded. But I don't think that's Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson and the impact that they're having on the game.
You know, I don't know if you had an opportunity to really study the heads versus tails drama that's going on right now from the game last night in overtime with Geno Smith. But it is an interesting subject, actually, regardless of whether you think he said heads, regardless of whether you think he said tails. What happens if the referee gets it wrong? Does it matter? Can the referee just, generally speaking, you know, award it to whichever team he thinks he hurt?
Well, we saw the referee get it wrong on Thanksgiving Day with the Steelers and Lions.
Right.
When Jerome Bettis made a call and the referee interpreted it as something else. So, you know, again, it's a situation where that's happened before.
Yeah, we've listened to it like 100 times. It sounds like he said tails, but, you know, to a degree, it doesn't matter, right? Like, both teams have the ball. Let me ask you this then. Where is the thought about changing the way overtime works, if any at all? What do you hear when people talk about this topic?
With overtime and the future of it, Dick?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that they've been trying this out here. They've tinkered with the system over the years to try to get it to a more functional point. And I think when they've done this, they've done it with the idea of player safety in mind, quote unquote. Like, they don't want it to be too long. And it's easy for us as fans to sit back and say, boy, I hate these ties. Like, I just, you know, I want them to play till there's a winner. I don't care if they play all night long. Like, in hockey, they'll play four or five overtimes or whatever it is, right? I love that.
Right.
But in football, the competition committee won't allow that. The PA won't go for that. They don't want – there are studies that they have that show that the incident of injury, the incidence of injury, the chance of injury go up the longer these games go in overtime. And so they're trying to curtail it and put a cap on it and say, look, you know, I don't care that it's going to end in a tie. You're not playing longer than 10 minutes in overtime. If that's the deal.
Well, I'm not trying to poo-poo it. I mean, it was a great game last night. And, you know, it was an exciting thing top to bottom. But it was close to a tie, right? Like, we were barreling down one of the most... One of the great games of the year was almost a tie. It was close to it.
And by the way, it's not Kyle Shanahan's way, but Jimmy G could have taken a knee there at the end. They could have probably run out the clock, and they would have wound up with a tie that would have benefited them more.
Right.
It's true.
For the top seed, and they didn't do that. They were aggressive, tried to win the game, and wound up losing the game. And I agree with it. It was the right thing, but they could have taken the smart, safe, careful approach and come out ahead.
Something. Oh, my God.
Kyle would have been crucified if he did that, though. Oh, my gosh.
No, but it would have made sense. And it wouldn't have been the first time in NFL history. I just saw a documentary the other day about how the Cowboys did something like that to get a tie, and everybody ripped them, but they ended up, I don't know, it was in the old-timey days. But, all right, thanks to Adam Schefter, brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers. When we come back, Cecil Lammy was out of practice. His thoughts on Drew Lock next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.